The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Oh, it is the morning after. Debate 2. Debate 2, night 1. Right, that's how it works. Welcome to the show. I'm Nicole Sandler. It's the Nicole Sandler Show, as makes sense, I suppose. I watched the debate last night, so you didn't have to. Now, I'm hoping you did, because I want this to be a sort of an interactive program today. I think we're having YouTube troubles. YouTube is being funky today. Hopefully, YouTube, you're seeing us. It looks like we're streaming. Anyway, so last night, night one, it was the touted Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren face off, or not. I never bought into that narrative that it was going to be Bernie Sanders versus Elizabeth Warren. What happened was kind of what I expected, because the two of them are on stage with a bunch of what I like to call conservadems. Again, I had a correct, got a laugh yesterday when she kept calling them moderates. That's the chosen descriptor for the corporate mainstream media. Moderates, someone who's not a liberal, who's not a progressive. Although, did you notice pretty much everybody, every single one of those candidates called themselves progressives? No, they're not. Now, I went through, I watched the whole thing. I took diligent notes right here in my notebook, pages and pages and pages of notes, seriously. And I pulled what I thought were the really good exchanges, so we can, you know, relive them. A few observations off the top. I thought the NBC debate last month was bad. Oh my God! I got to tell you, CNN, I saw it coming. What was it, last week or the week before, when they did the big televised draft? Oh, I'm sorry. Picking names from the boxes for which candidates were going to be on which night. Talk about a masturbatory exercise that was widely mocked, right, and ridiculed, as they should have been. But last night, my God, obviously they learned nothing, because the thing began. Oh, shoot. Tell me I didn't bring over this. I got to share this with you. So the thing began with, oh, no, that's the opening statement montage. Where is the, okay, here's the intro. So now I used a little bit of this in today's What's News, which, well, we may hear, we may not, I don't know. But I just have to play this for, I'm not going to play the whole thing because it runs 2 minutes and 46 seconds. But at 8 o'clock sharp Eastern, CNN threw it to Detroit, where the pre-recorded introduction to the big debate began.
Live from Detroit, it's the Democratic presidential debate.
The stage is set. The candidates are waiting in the wings.
And this audience is eager to hear what they have to say.
Okay, now the announcer
right now,
man comes
the
in.
The road to the White House drives through Detroit. The Democrats are in Michigan for a premier two-night event.
Two-night event!
That will determine who gets left behind and who takes on President Trump.
This is our chance
there is no middle ground.
Don't let anybody tell you that freedom is a conservative value. It is an American value.
Tonight, a fight for the heart of the party. Senator Bernie Sanders determined to seize his second chance at the nomination.
It is a question our priorities right.
Going head-to-head with Senator Elizabeth Warren. Longtime friends fighting for the same cause.
You get the idea. That's nauseating. Yes, it does sound like a WWF thing. But if that wasn't bad enough... So I'm watching them go through this long, tortured thing that was never ending. And so that took 3 minutes, right? Then, even though they had a little segment there, as you heard, from each of the candidates, then they introduced them one at a time. Please welcome to the stage, Montana Governor Steve Bullock. And then he walks out to tepid applause. And then, please welcome to the stage, Washington outsider, that's what they called her, Marianne Williamson. And so, 10 people they had to bring out to applause. So they wasted another 5 minutes. And I tweeted at that time, this is interminable or something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing because I'm not reading my tweet from last night. But then I made a prediction. I said at this rate, the first question isn't even going to be asked until 8:15 because you know they're going to go to a commercial break. Now, I was kind of being facetious, but after they introduced all the candidates, they went to commercials. And when they came back, they came back from commercials, and then they gave each of the candidates a minute for an introductory statement. The first up was... you know, the bottom of the totem pole there. It was Steve Bullock Wyoming. Sorry, Wyoming is not really top of mind these days, or ever. Sure enough, he started talking about what his he gave his opening statement at 8:15. I was going to say the good news is that they went longer, but I'm not so sure that was a good thing. Oh, my God. I guess I should start with what's news and give you what I have today. There are a few things. I don't even know if I should. Let me finish my little my observations on it before we hit what's news, and then I'll, you know, open up the phone lines. I've made no secret of the fact that NBC, most specifically MSNBC, has been in the tank for derailing Bernie Sanders. They sabotage him whenever possible. They ignore him. The New York Times, they all ignore him when they can. And when they can't ignore him, they just smear him. There were CNN did a thing where they'd put up the question on the chyron so you could see if the candidate was actually answering the question that was asked. And on at least two occasions, the questions were meant to smear Bernie Sanders. And I know I'm sensitive to this, but really, okay, listen to this. This is Jake Tapper asking a question to John Frackenlooper, Hickenlooper, sorry. And the question reads... is Sanders too extreme to beat Donald Trump? Now, this is a question for another candidate. And basically, Jake Tapper said, here's your chance to smear Bernie Sanders and say why he's unelectable. Seriously.
In poll after poll, Democratic voters say that they want a candidate who can beat President Trump more than they want a candidate who agrees with them on major issues. Governor Hickenlooper, you ran a Facebook ad that warned, quote, socialism is not the answer. The ad also said, quote, don't let extremes give Trump 4 more years. Are you saying that Senator Sanders is too extreme to beat President Trump?
Ooh. I'm saying the policies of this notion that you're going to take private insurance away from 180 million.
Oh, shut up. Hickenlooper had nothing constructive to say. So, you know what? That's okay. A few questions later, this time it was Dana Bash, not Dana Bash, Dana Bash, with a question to Tim Ryan. how concerned are you about Bernie Sanders' plan to end gasoline-powered cars? Really, because you need to take this time to smear Bernie Sanders. Go for it.
Congressman Ryan, yep. We are here in Michigan, where there are about 180,000 workers in auto manufacturing. Your state of Ohio has around 96,000 workers in that industry. Senator Sanders is co-sponsoring a bill that would eliminate new gas-powered car sales by
Bernie Sanders again.
Given the number of auto manufacturing workers in your state, how concerned are you about Senator Sanders' plan?
That's the question for presidential candidate Tim Ryan. How concerned are you about Bernie Sanders' plan? Seriously? That's the question. They did this throughout the evening. It would have been funny if it wasn't so fucked up. All right. I want to know what you think. As I just wrote on Twitter, I actually made I don't have a lot of money. And you know that. We're in financial straits over here. But after last night's debate, I got to admit it. I was tempted by Bernie Sanders people who were so on it that after this, I'm going to play for you another segment. They immediately came out with a bumper sticker. So after this, I donated $10 to Bernie Sanders. One, because I thought he deserved it, and two, because I wanted the bumper sticker.
If Medicare for All is enacted, there are more than 600,000 union members here in Michigan who would be forced to give up their private health care plans. Now, I understand that it would provide universal coverage, but can you guarantee those union members that the benefits under Medicare for All will be as good as the benefits that their representatives, their union reps, fought hard to negotiate?
Well, two things. They will be better because Medicare for All is comprehensive. It covers all health care needs for senior citizens.
Boom.
It will finally include dental care, hearing aids, and eyeglasses.
But you don't know.
Second
that.
Of all.
You don't know that,
second
Bernie.
Of all.
We'll come to you in a second,
I do know, and I wrote the damn bill.
Yes, I do know, and I wrote the damn bill. Okay, so that was Tim Ryan of Ohio who jumped in to say, you don't know that. And Bernie's response, I do know, I wrote the damn bill. His people, this is how on top of it they are. They immediately put out a tweet and an email and said, and came up with a mock-up of a bumper sticker, a picture of Bernie Sanders. And he says, I wrote the damn bill. Awesome. You know, yeah. And what did Tim Ryan do today? Well, Tim Ryan, hold on. Let me see if I can pull this up and show it to you. It is, hold on. I got to find it because it's really good. Yeah, really like bad, but good. If I can find it, damn it. So here it is. Tim Ryan tweets out, if we truly care about lifting up every voice and fighting on behalf of the issues that keep Americans up at night, let's start by making our conversations civil and productive. And he put up a graphic that in all caps, which in writing, all caps is akin to yelling. Just saying, in all caps, it says, you don't have to yell. And underneath it says, Tim Ryan 2020. So, of course, I had to retweet it, and I wrote, oh, my God, what an idiot. There are some things in life worth yelling about. You just don't get it. Go home. But Bernie's not the only one that I donated to after last night's debate because, oh, my God, Elizabeth Warren was on fire. And, yes, I don't think they planned it, but they agree on virtually everything. And so, obviously, right out of the gate, the first topic that came up for discussion, it was a question to Bernie Sanders, who is the highest polling contestant on the stage. After all, it's a game show. That's how they're treating it. That's how we'll discuss it. It was about Medicare for All. And Jake Tapper tried to, for whatever reason, they asked John Delaney. And I'm drawing a blank. I can't remember where John Delaney's from, but it doesn't really matter, frankly, because John Delaney needs to go home too. So they tried to foster. Every question was asked with the intention of fostering conflict between two of the candidates. They just wanted to start fights. So here's the opening exchange on Medicare for All. It started with Bernie Sanders and John Delaney. And then Elizabeth Warren, of course, got into the action.
Congressman Delaney just referred to it as bad policy. And previously, he has called the idea political suicide that will just get President Trump reelected. What do you say to Congressman Delaney?
You're wrong.
Absolutely.
Right now, we have a dysfunctional health care system, 87 million uninsured or underinsured, $500,000 Americans every year going bankrupt because of medical bills, 30,000 people dying while the healthcare industry makes tens of billions of dollars in profit. 5 minutes away from here, John, is a country. It's called Canada. They guarantee health care to every man, woman, and child as a human right. They spend half of what we spend. And by the way, when you end up in a hospital in Canada, you come out with no bill at all.
Go
healthcare
figure.
Is a human right, not a privilege. I believe that. I will fight for that.
Thank you, Senator Sanders. Congressman Delaney?
Well, I'm right about this.
Oh, yeah.
We can create
sure
a universal health care system to give everyone basic health care for free, and I have a proposal to do it. But we don't have to go around and be the party of subtraction and telling half the country who has private health insurance that their health insurance is illegal. My dad, the union electrician, loved the health care he got from the IBEW. He would never want someone to take that away. Half of Medicare beneficiaries now have Medicare Advantage, which is private insurance, or supplemental plans. It's also bad policy. It'll underfund the industry. Many
Thank
hospitals
you,
will close.
Thank you, Congressman.
Shut
Senator up.
Sanders,
my
I wanted,
name was
I,
also mentioned in I, this.
We're going to come to you in 1 second, but let me go to Senator Sanders right now. Senator
okay,
Sanders.
Back to Bernie.
The fact of the matter is, tens of millions of people lose their health insurance every single year.
Yes, they
when
do.
When they change jobs.
Yes,
when
they
their
do.
Employer changes that insurance.
Yep.
If you want stability in the healthcare system, if you want a system which gives you freedom of choice with regard to doctor or hospital, which is a system which will not bankrupt you, the answer is to get rid of the profiteering of the
you,
drug
Sarah.
Companies and the insurance companies
you,
rules to Medicare for all.
Okay, so then finally Elizabeth Warren gets in on it.
So look, let's be clear about this. We are the Democrats. We are not about trying to take away health care from anyone. That's what the Republicans are trying to do.
That's what the Republicans
and we should stop using Republican
yes.
talking points in order to talk with each other about how to best provide.
Absolutely. And that's what they were getting from John Delaney, from Tim Ryan, from Bullock, Steve Bullock. I'm trying to look at the other. You know, I was not very good at pulling clips from a lot of the candidates because, frankly, most of them just really sucked hind tit. I'm not sure what that expression means. I've just heard it, and I know it's bad. Anyway, but then they went back again. So at one point, they go back to Delaney. Again, for whatever reason, they kept asking Delaney questions. Methinks they were trying to push Delaney. And if you stayed for the after show, if you went over to MSNBC for the after show, you were tweeted to Crazy Tweety, who needs to retire already, who, you know, him and Brian Williams and frankly, Lawrence O'Donnell, who were all saying what a great night Tim Ryan had. Excuse me? Really? Anyway, so they go back to Delaney to keep, you know, bad-mouthing the idea of Medicare for All when he refers to healthcare as a business. And Bernie jumps in with a very quick reprimand.
Congressman so Delaney. I'm the only one on the stage who actually has experience in the healthcare business. And with all due respect, I don't think my colleagues understand the business. We have the public
it's
option, which
business.
Is great. The
it's not a business. It's not a business. And at one point, let me see if I don't know if I even pulled this. Delaney, you know, says, ooh, Bernie earlier let it slip that you know, he wants the healthcare industry to be nonprofit. Yeah. Point being, it wasn't a slip. It should be nonprofit. Nobody should be making money on the backs of our illnesses. It doesn't mean doctors shouldn't earn a great living. They do in all those European socialist countries that have healthcare as a basic human right. A doctor, you know, has a lot of education, goes through a lot of school, a lot of training, deserves to be paid a very nice salary. What doesn't belong in the healthcare so-called industry are stockholders who decide that they want to Hindtit was the smallest one, therefore the least milk. Oh, thank you very much. Now I know where that expression came from. My husband, font of information. Anyway, I lost my train of thought. I was too busy thinking about the poor dog who gets stuck with the unproductive tit. Anyway, it should be nonprofit. Hospitals should make enough money to pay their staff, to keep up the facilities, to stay on the cutting edge of medical technology, but they shouldn't be paying off shareholders making a profit. Drug makers should use the money for research, but they shouldn't be paying out multi-million dollar salaries to their CEOs. Healthcare is a public service. It should not be a for-profit entity. And oh my God, Delaney just couldn't understand that. In fact, here's an example. Afterwards on MSNBC, Tweety, Chris Matthews, why does this man still have a job? Was in the spin room in Detroit. And oh boy, he got John Delaney. Oh, wow. I'm so excited. Oh, my God. Here it goes. Oh, no, no, no. Sorry. No. Echo. Okay. Now. Yeah.
Tonight to go after the progressives. You, Ryan, let's see, Bullock and the Hickenlooper. Okay. Your line was free everything. Is that what you think of the progressives? Free everything.
That's where they're going. Like writing off every student loan, right? Everyone. What about the person who just paid off their loans? They're going to feel like fools. What about the kids who are about to go to school and borrow money? I mean, what about the little kids?
Could you back one of these people for president after tonight?
Listen.
Could you back Sanders? You say you're in this race to fight socialism. Could you vote for Sanders?
Yes, I'm going to support the Democrats.
Oh, my God.
We have a lawless president. Okay. We have an immoral president. Well, he's running as a Democrat. I'm going to work really hard to change his mind, but I'm going to win, so I don't have to worry about that question.
Oh, yeah. Delaney's going to win, so he doesn't have to worry about that. That's not the clip I was looking for. They must have talked for a good 10 minutes. And don't worry, I'm not going to subject you to 10 minutes of Tweety and John Delaney. Oh, my God, that's torturous. But sorry about the echo. It's my computer, which I have to treat with kid gloves. Anyway, John Delaney, in fact, a piece, I'm not going to play What's News, maybe at the end of the show. So I put together a little montage from the opening statements. This is how they started, okay? Gotta fight socialism! So everybody had an opening statement. Here's a little montage of a little bit from each of the candidates so you can get a taste. Because, frankly, they're not all represented equally here on the show today.
Live from Detroit.
Oh, no, that's the wrong one. Sorry. I'm not going to subject you to that again. All right, here's the opening statement montage.
Time now for opening statements. You'll each receive 1 minute. Steve Bullock, please begin.
I'm a progressive. Emphasis on progress, and I'm running for president to get stuff done for all those Americans Washington has left behind.
What?
Marianne Williamson.
Hey. Conventional politics will not solve this problem because conventional politics is part of the problem.
Yep.
We, the American people, must rise up and do what we do best and create a new possibility. Say no to what we don't want and yes to what we know can be true.
Baby.
I'm Marianne Williamson. And that's why I'm running for president.
And that's why
she's
running.
Congressman John Delaney.
Oh, no.
Folks, we have a choice. We can go down the road that Senator Sanders and Senator Warren want to take us.
Yes, please.
With bad policies like Medicare for all, free everything, and impossible promises that'll turn off independent voters and get Trump reelected.
Congressman Tim Ryan.
And I'm here to say this isn't about left or right.
No, no.
This is about new and better.
And it's not about reforming old systems.
Huh?
It's about building new systems. And tonight, I will offer solutions that are bold, that are realistic.
Really?
And that are a clean break from the past.
He didn't.
Governor John Hickenlooper.
Oh,
to provide solutions to problems, to make sure that we work together and created jobs. That's how we're going to beat Donald Trump. That's how we're going to win Michigan and the country.
Or not.
Senator Amy Klobuchar.
Oy.
Let's get real.
That's how she
Congressman
opened.
Beto
Let's
O'Rourke.
Get real.
Oy. At this moment of truth, let us pursue our national promise and make a more perfect union of everyone, by everyone, and for everyone.
Wow, what original words.
We're not going to be able to meet this moment by recycling the same arguments, policies, and politicians that have dominated Washington for as long as I have been alive. We've got to summon the courage to walk away from the past and do something different.
Okay.
This is our shot. That is why I'm running for president.
Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Donald Trump disgraces the office of president
every single day.
And anyone on this stage tonight or tomorrow night would be a far better president. I promise, no matter who our candidate is, I will work my heart out to beat Donald Trump and to elect a Democratic
Congress. You go, Liz.
Senator Bernie Sanders.
We have got to take on Trump's racism, his sexism, xenophobia, and come together in an unprecedented grassroots movement to not only defeat Trump, but to transform our economy and our government.
All right, so there was a taste of the opening statements. Yeah, you know, someone in the YouTube chat room just said, oh, my God, tonight is going to be just, I missed the exact language, but painful. It's going to be painful. And I'll tell you, on the first night, obviously it was Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Warren Sanders, however you want to put it. The two of them were on fire, despite the best efforts of the pundit class on CNN and MSNBC, who did their best to smear them on every front. It was truly just otherworldly, opposite worldly, in fact, where up is down, in is out, red is purple. It was insane. We've got a guest coming up in a few minutes, but let me play another clip for you. I mentioned how, by the way, someone asked, was there any talk of impeachment? No. There was no questions about children, family separations at the border. No question about locking people in cages. No question about impeachment. No question about Donald Trump. No question about Mueller or the Mueller report. No questions about any of that stuff. But they tried to start fights, like here.
Senator Warren, you make it a point to say that you're a capitalist. Is that your way of convincing voters that you might be a safer choice than Senator Sanders?
No. It's my way of talking about I know how to fight and I know how to win. I took on giant banks and I beat them. I took on Wall Street and CEOs and their lobbyists and their lawyers, and I beat them. I took on a popular Republican incumbent senator, and I beat him. I remember when people said Barack Obama couldn't get elected. Shoot, I remember when people said Donald Trump couldn't get elected. But here's where we are. I get it. There is a lot at stake and people are scared. But we can't choose a candidate we don't believe in just because we're too scared to do anything else. And we can't ask other people to vote for a candidate we don't believe in. Democrats win when we figure out what is right and we get out there and fight for it. I am not afraid. And for Democrats to win, you can't be afraid either.
You go, Liz. Oh, my God. That's why I love Elizabeth Warren. I was just going to pull up here. I've got my Lizzie and my Bernie action figures standing by. They're at the ready. What do you think? President and vice president? Co-presidents? Let's break the mold. Let's do things differently. Oh, and you want to hear Elizabeth Warren putting John Delaney in his place?
Congressman Delaney, your response.
So I think Democrats win when we run on real solutions, not impossible promises. when we run on things that are workable, not fairy tale economics. Look at the story of Detroit, this amazing city that we're in. This city is turning around because the government and the private sector are working well together. That has to be our model going forward.
What?
We need to encourage collaboration between the government, the private sector, and the nonprofit sector, and focus on those kitchen table, pocketbook issues that matter to hardworking Americans, building infrastructure, creating jobs, improving their pay, creating universal health care, lowering drug prices.
Senator Warren.
Do it.
You know, I don't understand why anybody goes to all the trouble of running for president of the United States just to talk about what we really can't do and shouldn't fight for.
Yo! Yeah! Boom! That said it all. All right, we've got more clips to play. I did line up a guest for today to join with us in our conversation about the debate and all things insane about our world. So it's somebody I just met, frankly. And actually, I was introduced to her by one of you guys, a listener, who said, you need to talk to the women behind the Mueller She Wrote podcast. So there's a Mueller She Wrote podcast, extra points for a great name, and I should probably wait to make sure she picks up. Jaleesa Johnson is one of the co-hosts of the Mueller She Wrote podcast and the Daily Beans pod, and she also hosts the Rachel Maddow Show. Again, extra points for, and I don't think she picked up. Hello?
Jaleesa Johnson.
Yep. She's not there. And we went back and forth on the Twitter a little while ago to make sure she was going to be there. Anyway, I think she watched the thing last night. It's an interesting format they have. It's three women. But you know what? We'll call her back in a few minutes and see. In the meantime, the phone lines are open, 954-889-6410, or you can Skype in to Nicole Sandler. All right, so I played for you earlier. I'm just going down the line now. I'll get back to Bernie in a few minutes. I need to talk for a moment about Marianne Williamson. Now, she's been on the show. In fact, you can go to my podcast page. You just search on NicoleSandler.com, Marianne Williamson, and you'll find the interview I did with her a couple of months ago, probably some that I did a few years ago when she was running for Senate from California as well. But, you know, Marianne Williamson took a lot of stuff after the first debate because she came off kind of a little flaky, I admit it. But I'll tell you something. Boy, she was on fire last night. In fact, I'm going to play for you a couple of her answers. Let's start with this one where there they were in Detroit. And actually, it was Marianne, I believe, who first brought up the Flint water crisis.
My response on the Flint water crisis is that Flint is just the tip of the iceberg. I was recently in Denmark, South Carolina, where there is a lot of talk about it being the next Flint. We have an administration that has gutted the Clean Water Act. We have communities, particularly communities of color and disadvantaged communities all over this country, who are suffering from environmental injustice. I assure you, I lived in Grosse Pointe. What happened in Flint would not have happened in Grosse Pointe. This is part of the dark underbelly of American society. The racism, the bigotry, and the entire conversation that we're having here tonight, if you think any of this wonkiness is going to deal with this dark psychic force of the collectivized hatred that this president is bringing up in this country, then I'm afraid that the Democrats are going to see some very dark days. We need to say it like it is. It's bigger than Flint. It's all over this country. It's particularly people of color. It's particularly people who do not have the money to fight back. And if the Democrats don't start saying it, then why would those people feel that they're there for us? And if those people don't feel it, they won't vote for us. And Donald Trump will win.
Thank you very much.
Good for her, right? Wow. At Grosse Pointe, for those who don't know, that's where all the top level auto executives lived. Great movie, great soundtrack, Grosse Pointe Blank. It's about a hitman in Grosse Pointe with a great soundtrack, but I digress. Great answer, right? She had more, but our guests will not be here today. Just let me, a bit of frustration. This is a woman who is involved in at least three podcasts. She knows what it's like. She's got two co-hosts, so I guess it doesn't matter to her. But I booked her last week, gave her the time. She apparently got confused. So I got a message from her Earlier in the day, she wrote, "Hi, Nicole. Sorry, I was confused about the time zones when I scheduled my appointment, but I was able to move it back." Oh, earlier she said that she has an appointment at 3 o'clock. She said, "How long do you think we'll be on the air? I have an emergency appointment to get to at noon." Well, noon in California is 3 here. I told her 3:30. Anyway, she said, "Sorry, I was confused. I was able to move it back. We're still on for 3. I said it'll be 3:30, 12:30 your time." She said, "Great. Awesome. Talk to you then." Well, she sent me a message at 3:10. 10 minutes after I was on the air, when I gave her every opportunity to say, "No, I can't make it." At 3:10, she said, "Hey, Nicole, turns out I'm not going to be able to make it after all. I just found out that the emergency meeting I have to be at can't be pushed back after all. So sorry about the short notice, but thanks for the opportunity." You know, no big deal. I got plenty of stuff to talk about. But seriously? Wow. That's just, I'm sorry. That's just rude. But, okay, back to this. So we played Marianne Williams' great rant about Flint. A few minutes later, they actually went back to her again, and this was the answer that got the biggest response of the night, and it was about reparations. Here's what she had to say.
"Ms. Williamson, many of your opponents support a commission to study the issue of reparations for slavery, but you are calling for up to $500 billion in financial assistance. What makes you qualified to determine how much is owed in reparations?"
Well, first of all, it's not $500 billion in financial assistance. It's $500 billion, $200 to $500 billion payment of a debt that is owed. That is what reparations is.
Okay.
We need some deep truth telling when it comes. We don't need another commission to look at evidence. I appreciate what Congressman O'Rourke has said. It is time for us to simply realize that this country will not heal. All that a country is a collection of people. People heal when there's some deep truth-telling. We need to recognize that when it comes to the economic gap between blacks and whites in America, it does come from a great injustice that has never been dealt with. That great injustice has had to do with the fact that there was 250 years of slavery followed by another 100 years of domestic terrorism. What makes me qualified to say $200 to $500 billion? I'll tell you what makes me qualified. If you did the math of the 40 acres and a mule, given that there was 4 to 5 million slaves at the end of the Civil War, there were 4 to 5, and they were all promised 40 acres and a mule for every family of 4. If you did the math today, it would be trillions of dollars. And I believe that anything less than $100 billion is an insult, and I believe that $200 to $500 billion is politically feasible today because so many Americans realize there is an injustice that continues to form a toxicity underneath the surface, an emotional turbulence
Ms.
that
Williamson,
only reparations
thank
will
you
be.
Very much.
Yes. I mean, good for her. Look, I admit, I'm not the right person to weigh in on reparations. I'm still trying to figure it out. I know there are a few factions that are not on the same page. And if anybody has any ideas of who the right person to talk to about it is, please let me know, because I'm trying to figure out who. Mark Thompson, formerly of SiriusXM, keeps saying he'll come on and talk to me about it. I mean, it was a dust-up over that very issue and the ADOS people that got him fired from XM. He's very well-informed, well-versed, and opinionated on the subject. So, that was an amazing take on reparations from Marianne Williamson, who the corporate media just wants to paint as a flake. Turns out she's a spiritual teacher of a lot of people. She radiates positivity and love. Now, do I think she should be president? No. But does she have something good to add to the conversation, especially the way things are today? Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. And frankly, I'm glad she got to say the things she said last night. You know, again, it was Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Marianne Williamson who spoke truth to power last night. Here was, you know what, I wonder, I don't know. I know what this answer is about. I'm trying to see if I can figure out what the question was that they asked here. It was at, oh, shoot. I don't even know where it was at. It was Elizabeth Warren. Okay, I'm just going to play it. Has to do with the Trump administration's tendency towards white supremacism. and Elizabeth Warren nailed it.
How are you going to combat the rise of white supremacy?
We need to call out white supremacy for what it is, domestic terrorism.
Fuck
and it
yeah.
poses a threat to the United States of America. We live in a country now where the president is advancing environmental racism, economic racism, criminal justice racism, healthcare racism. The way we do better is to fight back and show something better. So I have a plan, for example, on education that says we have to build a better education system for all our kids, but we've got to acknowledge what's happened on race. So my plan has universal tuition-free college for all of our kids,
cool.
but also increases the Pell Grants and levels the playing field by putting $50 billion into historically black colleges and universities. It cancels student loan debt for 95% of the kids with student loan debt and helps close the black-white wealth gap in America.
You go, Elizabeth Warren. Then they turn to Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg has had some problems with race relations in his town of South Bend, Indiana. He was asked, you know, what he would do about, white supremacy.
Mayor Buttigieg, you have been criticized for your handling of racial issues in your home city of
yes,
South Bend, from diversity
for
in
good
police
reason.
Force to housing policy.
Yeah.
Given your record, how can you convince African Americans that you should be the Democratic nominee?
As an urban mayor,
as a what?
Serving
what?
A diverse...
As a what? He's mayor of South Bend, Indiana.
A diverse community.
As a what?
As an urban mayor.
An urban mayor. Okay, just wanted
community.
To be sure I heard that,
the
right?
The racial divide lives within me. I'm not saying that I became mayor and racism or crime or poverty ended on my watch. But in our city, we have come together repeatedly to tackle challenges like
that
far too many people were not getting the help they needed in their housing, and so we directed it to a historically underinvested African-American neighborhood.
No, no.
Right now, in the wake of a police-involved
this
shooting,
is all not true. He he gets into it at the end of the clip. I don't know if we're going to make it for another 49 seconds, frankly. I think I'm going to have to cue in a bit. Because what I noticed about Mayor Pete's answers last night is he spends a lot of time saying what the situation is now, but never says what he'll do to fix it. At the end of this long, tortured answer, I am
our community reports of pain will be taken less seriously. If you apply for a job and you are black, you are less likely to be called just because of the name.
What are you going to do about it?
It's why I've proposed that we do everything from investing in historically redlined neighborhoods to build black wealth in homeownership.
Thank you, Mayor.
To supporting entrepreneurship
you
for black
thank down, you knocked down the homes in the redlined areas. He knocked down the homes of people who were behind on their water bills. Not a fan of Pete. Just saying. Yes, Mayor Pete also has a police shooting he can't run from. All right, so there is Mayor Pete. Sorry, non-starter. But then they went back to Delaney again. But I learned something about John Delaney. That twerp, whoever the hell he is, former congressman from some state, John Delaney is worth $65 million? Holy shit.
Congressman Delaney, I'm coming to you now. Your estimated net worth is more than $65 million. That would make you subject to Senator Warren's proposed wealth tax on the assets of the richest 75,000 homes, households, or so in the United States. Do you think Senator Warren's wealth tax is a fair way to fund childcare and education?
I think wealthy Americans have to pay more.
Yeah.
Listen, I grew up in a blue-collar family.
But?
First in my family to go to college, became a successful entrepreneur, created thousands of jobs, supported thousands of entrepreneurs all around this country. And I've done well financially. I think I should pay more in tax. I think wealthy Americans should pay more in tax. But we have to have a real solution. The real solution is to raise the capital gains rates. There is no reason why people who invest for
wealth
a living
tax, buddy.
Should pay less than people who work for a living. That's ridiculous. It's the biggest loophole in our tax code. We
Liz
act
was
like
rubbing her palms
individuals
together
are endangered
this
species. And if we don't raise, if we raise their taxes, they won't invest. That's crazy.
Bullshit.
That's how we get more revenues from wealthy individuals. We roll back the Trump tax cuts to wealthy individuals. I think the wealth tax will be fought in court forever. It's arguably unconstitutional.
No, it isn't.
And the countries that have had it have largely abandoned it because it's impossible to implement.
Like which ones?
But here again,
John?
Real solutions, not impossible promises.
Thank you.
Raise the capital gains tax, roll back the taxes on wealthy Americans.
Thank
that
you,
we can do in our first few months as president.
Please shut respond. Up. So then Elizabeth Warren gets to respond. Take it away, Liz.
So I have proposed a wealth tax. It's now time to do that.
Yes, it is.
It's time to tax the top 0.1% of fortunes in this country. Your first $50 million you can keep free and clear, but your 50 millionth and first dollar, you got to pitch in two cents. What can America do with two cents? We can provide universal child care for every baby in this country age 0 to 5. We can provide universal a pre-K for every 3-year-old and 4-year-old. We can raise the wages of every child care worker and preschool teacher in this country. We can provide universal tuition-free college. We can expand Pell. We can put $50 billion into our historically black colleges and universities. And we can cancel student loan debt for 95% of the people who have it and start to close the wealth gap in America. It tells you how badly broken this economy is.
Senator, thank
that
you very
2 cents
much.
From Delaney, the wealthiest in
thank
this
you,
country would let us invest in the rest
Senator,
of America.
Congressman, please
this
respond.
Is not about whether wealthy. This is not about whether wealthy Americans should pay more. I think we're all in agreement on that. It's a question of do you have a real solution to make it happen.
Yeah, she does. She's got a plan for that. How about you, Johnny? Johnny Delaney? I don't think you do, Johnny. You just want to keep that $65 million for yourself and not pay taxes on it. Well, guess what, John?
Fuck you. Fuck you very, very much.
And I want to extend that fuck you to Steve Bullock. I know I haven't given you much from Steve Bullock, but let's do it in this context. Steve Bullock, of course, who likes to tout that he is a two-term Democratic governor from a very red state, Wyoming. Well, the question here had to do with nuclear weapons. And Elizabeth Warren had a very sensible take on it. And Steve Bullock disagreed.
Senator Warren, you want to make it U.S. policy that the U.S. will never use a nuclear weapon unless another country uses one first. Now,
yeah.
President Obama reportedly considered that policy, but ultimately decided against it. Why should the U.S. tie its own hands with that policy?
Oh, my God.
Because
what a loaded question.
Because it makes the world safer. The United States is not going to use nuclear weapons preemptively.
Thank you.
And we need to say so to the entire world.
Thank you.
It reduces the likelihood that someone miscalculates, someone misunderstands. Our first responsibility is to keep ourselves safe.
Yeah.
And what's happening right now with Donald Trump, as they keep expanding the different ways that we have nuclear weapons, the different ways that they could be used, puts us all at risk. You know, we talk about what's happening around the world. I have 3 older brothers who served in the military. I see that they would do anything. Our military is the best on earth, but we should not be asking our military to take on jobs that do not have a military solution. We need to use our diplomatic tools, our economic tools, and if we're gonna send someone into war, we better have a plan for how we're gonna get them out on the other end.
Okay, like her answer. Steve Bullock weighs in next.
Thank you, Senator. Governor Bullock, your response to Senator Warren's proposal to the U.S. never use a nuclear weapon first?
I wouldn't want to take that off the table. I think America's strength, we have to be able to say
that. We did it before.
Look,
we can do it again. Hey.
Never, I hope. Certainly in my term or anyone else, would we really even get close to pulling that trigger. But by the same token,
this guy
America's
talks like
look,
a top 40 country disc jockey.
America versus America alone.
America versus America
our
alone.
Our allies no longer trust us. Our adversaries. Going from a position of strength, we should be negotiating down so there aren't nuclear weapons.
Nuclear? There aren't nuclear weapons? Elizabeth Warren, straighten him out.
At a time when Donald Trump is pulling out of our nuclear negotiations, expanding the opportunities for nuclear proliferation around the world, has pulled us out of the deal in Iran, and Iran is now working on its nuclear weapon. The world gets closer and closer to nuclear warfare.
We have to have
an announced policy that is one the entire world can live with. We need to make that clear. We will respond
you,
if
Senator
someone
Warren.
Else does, but
Governor
not
Bullock,
first.
Please respond.
Okay, so Governor Bullock was given the last word here. You need to hear what he had to say. Brace yourself.
Part I agree with, but by the same token, like we need
what?
To get
but,
back
but,
to
but,
nuclear
by the what? Wait, hold on. What?
But when you-
wait, what? Okay, so I need to hear that again. Listen carefully.
Part I agree with.
Yeah.
But by the same token, like we need to get back to nuclear proliferation.
What?
But when you
what?
Have
Elizabeth Warren said what?
Proliferation.
What?
Reducing them, but at the same time.
Reducing them.
When
oh,
you have
I get
Korea,
it. Not proliferation, but getting rid of them. All right, I'll shut up this time so you can hear it without me exasperatively making up words. Here we go.
Part I agree with. But by the same token, like we need to get back to nuclear proliferation. But when you have folks proliferation, reducing them, but at the same time, when you actually have Korea, when you have others, I don't want to turn around and say, well, Detroit has to be gone before we would ever use that. When so many crazy folks are getting closer to having nuclear weapons, I don't want them to think I could strike this country and we as the United States of America wouldn't do a thing. Part of the strength really is the ability
Governor
to
Bullock.
Deter.
So Governor, thank you very much. Moving on now. Moving on now, please, Senator.
No, this is not an important enough subject. Forget it, Bernie. You don't get to weigh in. And Elizabeth Warren, we'll leave it at that brilliant statement from Steve Bullock. Oh, God, I didn't play for you his I didn't play for you his comments on immigration. Get ready for this. Steve Bullock, a Democrat from Wyoming.
Governor Bullock, how can Democrats trust you to be the leader on this fight for gun safety when you only changed your position to call for an assault weapons ban last summer?
Oh, I didn't even realize that this was supposed to be a question about gun safety, because in my notes it says immigration, because he devolves into some strange language here.
Of American households, I'm a gun owner. I hunt. Like far too many people in America, I've been personally impacted by gun violence. Had an 11-year-old nephew, Jeremy, shot and killed on a playground. We need to start looking at this as a public health issue, not a political issue.
Okay.
I agree with Senator Klobuchar. It is the NRA. And it's not just gun violence. It's when we talk about climate, when we talk about prescription drug costs. Washington, D.C. is captured by dark money, the Koch brothers, and others.
Yeah.
That's been the fight of my career.
Okay.
Kicking the Koch brothers out of Montana, taking the first case after Citizens United up to the Supreme Court, making it so that elections are about people. That's the way we're actually going to make a change on this, Don, is by changing that system. And most of the things that folks are talking about on this stage, we're not going to address until we kick dark money and the post-Citizens United corporate spending out of these elections.
Until we kick dark money and the what? And the what?
Stage. We're not going to address until we kick dark money
and the
post-Citizens United corporate spending out of these elections.
I'm sorry. And the what?
Until we kick dark money and the post-Citizens United corporate spending out of these elections.
I have no idea.
Authentic frontier gibberish.
Yes, it is. I do have one positive clip from Pete Buttigieg. I mean, the guy's a smart guy, right? And he said something that I agree with 100%. In fact, I have said it here on this program before. Take it away, Pete.
It is time to stop worrying about what the Republicans will say. Look,
yes.
if it's true that if we embrace a far-left agenda, they're going to say we're a bunch of crazy socialists. If we embrace a conservative agenda, you know what they're going to do? They're going to say we're a bunch of crazy socialists. So let's just stand up for the right policy, go out there and defend it.
And in fact, John Delaney, he's back, went on the Fox News channel. And apparently, I didn't pull the clip because, I mean,
really. But here, let me see if I can even find this. Apparently, John Delaney went on Fox. Let me see if I have it here. Wow, CNN's first Democratic debate drew 8.7 million viewers. Of course, I'm not going to be able to find this because I'm looking for it. I don't know where it is. Okay, there's that Pete Buttigieg clip. I don't know. It's just, he did. John Delaney has been, I played you one of the clips with Chris Matthews last night. I'm gonna play you one more clip if this will work. Do I have, there it is. Is that the right? Yeah. All right. So I told you Tweety, that would be Chris Matthews, was in the spin room at MSNBC, at the debate last night for, hold on, I'm trying to change this picture so I can, you'll see Tweety and Elizabeth Warren when I play it. Let me just play a little bit of Chris Matthews badgering Elizabeth Warren over her not saying, her refusal to say that she'll that people will pay more in taxes on Medicare for All. The point she's trying to make is that actually their overall expenses will go down. But listen to Chris Matthews and watch him, if you're on YouTube, badgering her to get her to say what he wanted her to say, and she wouldn't budge. Here's the clip.
We got to remember, basic model of an insurance company, taking as much money as you can in premiums and pay out as little in health care coverage.
They don't have the money now to pay for their own necessary treatment. They will have it under your plan. Where does it come from?
So costs are going to go up for the bazillionaires. It's going to go up for the big corporations.
Good.
But out-of-pocket costs for middle-class families actually going to go down.
Let's go to the mechanism.
The costs will go down.
We'll get to this later in the campaign, if not now. Medicare, we've all been paying since I was 15 in the drugstore, I was paying Medicare.
He was ever 15?
Up to 65 with the idea you'll survive maybe 15 more years. Mm-hmm. If you have Medicare for Life or government health insurance, you'll have to have more benefits. And Bernie's talking about the eyeglasses, hearing aids, everything.
Liz says,
have to have more money. Yeah.
Oh, look.
Well, your payroll go up. You guys dodged that tonight.
It's about
Jake Tapper kept saying, how much of your tax is going to go up? And you'd said,
much are your costs going to go down?
No, different question. How much will your taxes
go
up?
No, it's how much are your costs?
I have a different question.
It's how much families end up spending.
I know that argument. I know how you're covering it.
It's not just an argument. You know, the Republicans did a study, and they hoped to show that Medicare for All was going to bust the budget. And you remember what it ended up showing? That Medicare for All is cheaper than our current system. That's the Republican.
I know the argument that you put it all together, you reduce the cost for health care premiums, and you get more benefits, and therefore you come out ahead. But will you pay more in taxes? Why don't you want to answer that question?
Because it's
a Republican talking point. It's not a Republican
talking
point.
Yes, it is.
It's a question about where people are going to come out economically. Look,
My question is how much will taxes go up?
I spent most of my life studying families that went broke, and a huge chunk of them went broke because of high medical bills, and many of them had health insurance. So the question is not, do you have health insurance or not have health insurance? The question is, how much are you going to have to dig in your pocket to pay?
I know that's the answer that you'd like to give, but
taxes
go up.
All right, that's enough of that. So there you hear. Chris Matthews went on like that with Elizabeth Warren, arguing with her about the point she's trying to make for a good 5 minutes. NBC, it is time for Chris Matthews to retire. While you're at it, you may want to shit can so many of your pundits, the Republican never Trumpers. I respect the fact that they're never Trumpers, but they're not Democrats. And to have people like Bill Kristol and Jennifer Rubin and David Jolly and it goes on and on and on telling me who we should vote for? I think not. They're Republicans. Tell them to go figure out who the Republicans want to vote for to get Donald Trump out of office. But don't tell me how to be a good liberal. I've been one my whole life. I certainly don't need advice from the likes of Bill Kristol, John Podhoretz, any of these cretins they constantly trot out and put on the air. Rick Santorum, CNN, really? Claire McCaskill, MSNBC? No, thank you. I turned off all of the punditry last night because it was all so disgusting. Because they're trying to tell us that Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders weren't the big winners last night? Yeah, keep thinking that. Well, enjoy tonight. I'll watch so you don't have to. We'll do it again tomorrow, and Howie Klein will be here too. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take an extra bong hit from me. See you later. Bye.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Night one of the second round of Democratic presidential primary debates is over, and the big loser was CNN, or more accurately, the American electorate. It was apparent that CNN would be an issue, just judging from the overblown and ridiculous program introduction.
Live from Detroit, it's the Democratic presidential debate.
The stage is set, the candidates are waiting in the wings.
And this audience is eager to hear what they have to say.
Right now, the road to the White House drives through Detroit. The Democrats are in Michigan for a premier two-night event, a defining moment that will determine who gets left behind and who takes on President Trump.
This is our chance.
There is no middle ground.
Don't let anybody tell you that freedom is a conservative value. It is an American value.
Tonight, a fight for the heart of the party. Senator Bernie Sanders determined to seize his second chance at the nomination.
It is a question of getting our priorities right.
Going head to head with Senator Elizabeth Warren. Longtime friends fighting for the same cause and the same voters.
We should dream big, fight hard, and win.
That intro ran 2 minutes and 46 seconds. Then they introduced all 10 candidates individually and had them walk out onto the front of the stage to applause, wasting more precious time that could have been used for longer answers, perhaps. Anyway, they finally got underway after a commercial break at about 8:14 when Montana Governor Steve Bullock began his opening statement.
Time now for opening statements. You'll each receive 1 minute. Governor Steve Bullock, please begin.
I'm a progressive. Emphasis on progress, and I'm running for president to get stuff done for all those Americans Washington has left behind.
Marianne Williamson.
We, the American people, must rise up and do what we do best and create a new possibility. Say no to what we don't want and yes to what we know can be true. I'm Marianne Williamson, and that's why I'm running for president.
Congressman John Delaney.
Folks, we have a choice. We can go down the road that Senator Sanders and Senator Warren want to take us. With bad policies like Medicare for all, free everything, and impossible promises that'll turn off independent voters and get Trump reelected.
Congressman Tim Ryan.
And I'm here to say this isn't about left or right. This is about new and better. And it's not about reforming old systems. It's about building new systems. And tonight, I will offer solutions that are bold, that are realistic, and that are a clean break from the past.
Governor John Hickenlooper.
To provide solutions to problems, to make sure that we work together and created jobs. That's how we're going to beat Donald Trump. That's how we're going to win Michigan and the country.
Senator Amy Klobuchar.
Let's get real.
Congressman Beto O'Rourke.
At this moment of truth, let us pursue our national promise and make a more perfect union of everyone, by everyone, and for everyone.
Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
We're not going to be able to meet this moment by recycling the same arguments, policies, and politicians that have dominated Washington for as long as I have been alive. We've got to summon the courage to walk away from the past and do something different. This is our shot. That is why I'm running for president.
Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Donald Trump disgraces the office of president every single day. And anyone on this stage tonight or tomorrow night would be a far better president. I promise no matter who our candidate is, I will work my heart out to beat Donald Trump and to elect a Democratic Congress.
Senator Bernie Sanders.
We have got to take on Trump's racism, his sexism, xenophobia, and come together in an unprecedented grassroots movement to not only defeat Trump, but to transform our economy and our government.
And that's how it began. We have a thorough recap of debate night one on the Wednesday edition of The Nicole Sandler Show, airing at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 Pacific on the Progressive Voices Network. Or you can hear it via the podcast, which is available at NicoleSandler.com. Although the media tried to turn it into a cage match between Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, the two progressives had a different idea. Instead of taking CNN's bait, they sort of teamed up to defend their progressive programs and ideas against the conservadems on the panel. The New York Times reported, quote, there was former Representative John Delaney of Maryland who accused Mr. Sanders and Ms. Warren of making, quote, fairy tale promises. Governor Steve Bullock of Montana, who lamented liberal, quote, wish list economics. And former Governor John Hickenlooper of Colorado, imploring the left not to overreach and, quote, FedEx the election to Donald Trump. Oy. While the debate was happening, California Representative Judy Chu became the 116th House Democrat to call for impeachment. Just two more will put the Dems over the 50% mark. And Texas Representative Mike Conaway became the fifth Republican to announce he's out. He will not run for re-election. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you enjoy these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, now heard at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 Pacific on the Progressive Voices Network, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.